everything and in every way, I have learned the secret of being full and being hungry, of having abundance and being in need. I can do all things through him who gives me power. It is Yah who gives you the power. Shaul depended upon Yah's strength. He also knew that he was always in Yehovah's will. But he had to learn in order to live like this. And it may be a very dangerous place to be in the natural. But Shaul had different experiences apart from being blinded. Some were varied for him, both bad and good. But he learned to be content. He had a faith in Yah that since he sought Yah's will and Yah answered, that whether he was in danger or safety, he was in Yah's will, and he learned to be content. I do know that he suffered far more than any of us have ever suffered for our faith. Can we go to the next slide? In Numbers 10:34 to 11:1, it says, "The cloud of Yehovah was over them during the day as they set out from the camp. When the ark moved, Moshe said, 'Arise, Yehovah, may your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee before you.' When it stopped here, he said, 'Return, Yehovah, for many, many thousands of Israel.'" And in verse 1 it says, "But the people began complaining about hardships to Yehovah. When Yehovah heard it, his anger flared up, so that the fire from Yehovah broke out against them and consumed the outskirts of the camp." When the cloud moved, Moshe signaled to all Israel and told them to start following. And this meant for the sojourner as well. When we're talking about Israel, those who came out of Egypt, as we call them, the sojourners, were the Egyptians that came with them. They didn't want to say that, and there was a lot of Egyptians that came with them. So Moshe made a very faithful statement. He set the arrangements of the march in order. In the next slide. In Bamidbar 10:12-14. "And the people of Israel moved out in stages from the Sinai desert. The cloud stopped in the Paran desert, so that they set out on their first journey in keeping with Yehovah's order through Moshe. In the lead was the banner of the camp of the descendants of Yehuda, whose companies moved forward. Over his company was Nachshon, the son of Amminadav." Yehuda went first. He wasn't the firstborn. Then he was followed by Reuven, who was the firstborn. Ephraim, who was from the lastborn, and Dan. And the Ark of the Covenant went on ahead. And when the Ark went, Moshe had faith. He put his trust in Yah's hands. He knew that all the enemies of Yah would be scattered. We have to learn to make Yah's enemies scatter. We have to learn to tell the enemy to flee. To go into dry and arid places is where I always send him. Why? Because there's nothing out there he can get into. I'm not putting him into somebody else or any other situation. I'm sending him to a place where there's nobody there for him to annoy. He knew it takes faith for us to do that. But we have to activate our faith. And I've said this many, many times, faith is like a muscle. And if you don't use it, it'll wither away. We have to use it. Moshe knew the place where Yehovah would lead them was where Yehovah wanted them to be. When we choose our own destination, then we lose the blessing. After 3 days, the ark rested, and Moshe knew that Yah would return to be with his people. Moshe saw the pillar. That was his indication. Remember, Yah was invisible. Yah is a ruachal being, his spirit. But Moshe did receive a sign. It was the pillar of cloud. So when the pillar stopped, that's where Yah wanted them, no matter what they thought the position or location looked like. Now, this was only a 3 days journey, as it says in Bamidbar 11:1, but the people complained. They were not leading themselves in the way they figured they should go. They were not accustomed to walking after the Ruach. So they complained, especially in this self-gratification world we live in today. All we hear is complaint. If it's not my way, they complain if we don't do it the way they want it done. And children seem to be telling the adults what to do instead of the adults having jurisdiction over the children. Yehovah knows where to lead us, but everybody's path is different. He knows where we should be in any decision that we make. But the flesh does not see the things the same way as Yah sees them. And although the flesh will always lead us astray, people are often too fearful to follow the Ruach HaKodesh and simply do what they're used to doing and follow their own wisdom. You need to pray and get into fervent prayer until you break through and hear from Yah. Do you need an answer for something? I believe some of you have major decisions to make and attempted to figure out the decision on your own. You can hear from Yah about it if you will fervently pray. Maybe you prayed and you still haven't heard an answer. If there's no answer, don't move. Wait until you get the answer before you move. You either do not pray fervently enough if you don't get an answer, or Yah is saying no. No answer can often mean no. Stay put and pray some more, and he will give you the answer. The answer might cripple the strongest part of your flesh, the will to walk its own pathway. And no one wrestled with their own flesh more than Yaakov did when he wrestled with Yah so hard that the thigh of Yaakov experienced a sinew to shrink. And he was left, and it was in the strongest muscle of his leg. And in those days, they walked everywhere. So he was left with a limp for the rest of his life. So stay put and pray some more. It might cripple the strongest part of your flesh, the will to walk its own pathway, but you will break through. We have to pray until we break through this urge of the flesh to lead us in our own way. We need to seek Yah until we hear from him. We have to pray until something happens. We have to push through. I was once called a bulldozer. I'm not joking. I was in a church and there was this prophet that had come over and they made me stand up, pointed straight at me, told me I was a bulldozer. It didn't matter how high the wall, how thick the wall, I would push through it. And I would win. I would break through the enemy's power. And that's just the way I've been all my life. I will push through. I will not complain. I will not to Yah about it. I just know that he will come through with me. My timing isn't his timing. Sometimes it took 18 years for me to break through. But I broke through. So I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done, because Yah is faithful and he wants to be there for each and every one of you, no matter what you have to push through at the moment. In the next slide, in James 5 and verse 16, It says, therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Pray for the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And verses 10 and 11, as an example of suffering mistreatment and being patient, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yehovah. Look, we regard those who persevered as blessed. You have heard of the perseverance of Eov, or Job, and you know what the purpose of Yehovah was, that Yehovah is very compassionate and merciful. And in the next slide, in Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 11 to 15, it says, however, we want each one of you to keep showing the same diligence right up to the end when your hope will be realized, so that you will not become sluggish, but will be imitators of those who by their trust and patience are receiving what has been promised. For when Yehovah makes his promise to Abraham, he swore an oath to do what he had promised. And since there was no one greater than himself for him to swear by, he swore by himself and said, I will certainly bless you, and I will certainly give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham saw the promise fulfilled. Abraham wasn't as faithful as he should have been, because he did go ahead of Yah in getting Ishmael. He didn't wait like he should have, but he soon learnt from that mistake. People lack patience for waiting for Yah's direction and move outside of his will. They can act religiously and carry on with such outward mannerisms of a believer, but they are not walking after the Ruach HaKodesh and are afraid to do so. People move their families and make other major decisions without even hearing from Yah about what his will was about such a thing. So many people do not stop to consider Yah's will, but are so accustomed to leading their own lives, they simply choose direction for themselves. And that is what walking after the flesh is, in plain terms. Let us learn to walk after the Ruach HaKodesh and make no major decisions without direction from Yah. As with the pillar of fire and the cloud in the wilderness, if Yah does not speak to move, don't move. If it is a year and he has not spoken, then do not move. If he speaks and says move in the middle of the night, then move in the middle of the night. Someone asked me once how we can know if it is Yah is speaking and not our own voice in our own mind. So I replied, if you fervently prayed and refused to move until you receive word from Yah, then you will simply know. You will know like you know like you know. There is absolutely no doubt. And one of my most favourite phrases is, if in doubt, leave it out. If you've got any doubt at all, you don't go there. We cannot predict how Yah will speak, but just know that he will. He will do it in his way and let you know that it was definitely him who spoke. So that's all I've got on that message for today. We'll now go back to the remembrance service. I hope that's been of some help to some people. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I'll put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Hamotz Elokim in Haaretz. Amen. Cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yehovah Yeshua HaMashiach. HaKol Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Berei Pri HaGafen. Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Berei Mini Besameim. Now I invite you to come, take some challah, smell the spices and take a cup of juice and go back to your seat with it, and we will drink and eat together. Remembering too that we don't hand out an offering bag, but there is an offering box up the back and the FPOS machine if you'd care to use it. And also know that Yah loves those who wants to bless him. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in everything. And through us, your generosity will cause people to thank Yehovah. Because rendering this holy service not only provides for the needs of Yehovah's people, but also overflows in the many thanks people will be giving to Yah. So in offering this service, you prove to these people that you glorify Yehovah by actually doing what your acknowledgement of the good news of the Messiah requires, namely sharing generously with them and with everyone. So let's now come.
my God and King, your love makes all of heaven sing. My God and King, your mercy is forevermore. My God and King, Hashem be magnified. Your love gives life, my God and King, to all who sanctify your name. Your love gives life to all who bow before your throne. Your love gives life, Hashem be magnified. I rest before your throne of grace, in that repay so special place, a land of utter holiness, the new Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. I see the mountaintop ablaze, I see your loving holy gaze. I hear the shofar sing its song, holy Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem. My God and King, your love makes all of heaven sing. My God and King, your mercy is forevermore. My God and King, be magnified.
See you. to know the heritage and return to him at last. Ephraim, beloved son, it's time for you to turn your face and come back to your father's house. He waits for you with open arms to bring the unity back to the we will live his holy law. We will worship you. You set us free. You found us in the wilderness, and you caused our eyes to see that you are searching and drawing and calling your own. And when the east wind has blown us away from our home, we will worship you, worship you.
Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that we can rest on your Shabbat. We thank you that in you we find our rest. And we thank you through your Son, Yeshua, who laid down his life and shed his blood for us, that we can be washed clean of our sins, that we can know like we know like we know, that as long as we're in our rest and combined with him, we are joined to you. We are joint heirs with the Son. And we thank you, Abba Father, for sending your Son, for allowing his blood to be shed and his body broken, so that we can reach the place of receiving your Ruach within us, so that we can hear your word, so that we can live according to your word, and not deviate right or left. Abba, we are so grateful that we at least at this time have freedom of speech to to be able to mention your name, to be able to mention Yeshua's name, and to spread your gospel of shalom and hope to the world. Abba, we pray as we take these emblems today that we can continue to do so, and that no law can be passed in our country that can prevent us from doing it. We give the glory for these emblems, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let's eat and drink together. Before Malachi comes and says the Aaronic blessing, Usha would like to come and share a testimony. So Usha, if you'd like to come and take this mic down the bottom here. Hello, one. Girls, can we have the mic, please?
Just wanted to tell everyone, when Tama was talking about we need to rebuke the enemies, my goodness, just over 3 weeks ago, I had this challenge. People at work accused me wrongfully, and I was so annoyed, I was so upset, so I decided to resign. So I didn't go to work 2 days. Then following week, I went to my doctor, got the certificate for 1 week off, and I took my resignation. Later, before I did that, I rang the hierarchy main office and told the whole story, and I also told them that I'm resigning, and they were so shocked. They begged me to stay. They said, we can take you anywhere, you can go to any other location, but please don't leave us. I didn't say anything. I was still planning to leave. I went to my work, told one of the manager I'm leaving. She would not accept my resignation letter. And I know it's just because after when they accused me on Wednesday, Thursday I was driving home, I was rebuking and fighting with devil's work in my life. And as just now I realize that it is not me, it is Yah. He made these people not to accept my resignation letter. They want me to stay there. It's not my work, but I know how to rebuke devil now. Challenges always happening in my life. Tell me about it, you know, with teenage children and all. But keep rebuking the devil. I know Yah wants us to have a good life. He always have good things for us. So we just need to stay on him. Yeah.
Bless you. He does. We've just got to rebuke him. Malachi, can you come please and say the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I will repeat it in English.
Yevareka ka, Yehovah Yishmereka. Ye Yehovah panavaleka viyakuneka. Yisa Yehovah panavaleka viyasumaka shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, We thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray that the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tamar. That was a great message. I read it before we came and, this is a good one. And not that they aren't all good, but I thought this was exceptional. And I was there the time the prophet said that she was a bulldozer and she's going to push through. And quite some time after that, we learned that her given name actually meant victorious spirit. And I thought, perfect fit.
That's so why she is named Tamar, which means victorious spirit. Tamar, Etz Tamar is a date palm. And if you've ever been to Israel, you will see that the date palms in Israel, very, very tall, extremely tall. And Yah told me that that was the size of my spirit. He also told me that, like the date palm, that are resilient, they can go through fire, they can go through famine, they can go through storm, they bend and they bounce right back to where they came from. But they have the sweetest of the plump fruit you've ever seen. Hence, I'm plump. But Maliki thinks I'm sweet.
Oh, definitely.
So that's all good.
And I'd share, because that when Tamar made mention of the fact that sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to her and he's using her own voice, and other times it's a male voice. And actually on the night that we met, she heard that male voice very loudly. And this is in an open street sort of thing.
In Service Paradise on the boulevard.
Because I met her in a Christian cafe. I saw her and she was a Jewess in a Christian cafe, and I thought, that's really strange. And you know how you just join a table where people are after a service,
smooth time
sort of thing. So I did. And by about 11 o'clock, everybody else had left. It's just the two of us talking. And then we stood up and she didn't get any taller.
It's all right, I've got my shoes on. If I take my shoes off, you'll get the idea.
And so as we were leaving the cafe and we'd stopped to
cross
the road to go, because she asked me to walk her back to her car, which made sense at that hour in the middle of Surfers Paradise. And then the Lord spoke to her very loudly. Mind you, she didn't tell me this for a long time.
Not until after we're married. Years after we're married.
Yes. Decades almost, but anyway. And I think I'll let you say what he said to you.
Well,
it's firsthand then.
He said, now thank me for your husband. And I turned around and nearly fell off the footpath. There was nobody there. So I'd already been told I was getting married that year, and I knew I hadn't met the person.
And the date that she was
going to
get
married.
And
I was given the date. And I hadn't even met him. And
the date was a separate time to the fact that
I was
Yah was preparing your husband for her.
Yeah. And
he had
so
a lot of work to do.
I turned around and there was nobody there. So you can guess what I did, didn't you? I put up every barrier I could to make sure it was Yah's voice and not my own imagination. But we still got married on the date that was prophesied.
We did. And
the date came forward before I even met him.
Yeah, by a visiting ministry from overseas.
From Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
Yah has given me lots of... I've got all the prophecies that I've ever had over me written down, so yeah. He's good, including the ministry that we're doing now. And he told me that I would be speaking to people all over the world, but I wouldn't have to travel. And there wasn't internet in those days.
let alone live stream and all of that.
Yah is amazing. You know, I can't live without him. And we can't do what we're doing without each other. I can't do what Malachi does. He can't do what I do. So, and none of it would exist if you guys weren't here and part of our family. So we really appreciate each and every one of you.
And even when I was a young boy in high school, one of the things that I ended up doing in a boarding school was for the Saturday night movies. I ended up running the projector and swapping the movie reels and rethreading the tape and all of that sort of thing. And I'd learnt that from my father when, because he used to make 16 mil movies of farms and dams and all the sorts of things that he was involved in and ploughs and stuff. And so then editing and putting it all together I've been doing that sort of thing all my life. So this was...
Mind you, when he goes home tonight, he then edits everything that's been said today to put it back up on the internet for anyone to get hold of.
So we can't do much with the video side of it.
All the speaking side of it.
But I extract the audio from the video and then go through and try and balance up the levels of the voices.
So he goes home and works for a few hours out yet.
Yeah. And then take out the segment, which is the drasha, drasha. And so that goes up on the website under the audio downloads as just the drash, or drashot, actually. That's the plural.
Drashot.
Drashot, thanks, babe. And as well as the entire service. So it's all available.
He
and
does
you can
a great
actually
job.
Just click on it and listen to it, or you can download it. Either way, I'm not asking for accolades.
No, but you do, honey. I can't do it.
Yeah, you put us together very well. I'm just amazed.
Well, Shavua Tov, tea, coffee.
Bless you all. Thanks for being with us.
I need a cup of coffee. You've got to get the one that's there, guys. Shalom, shalom, shalom. I'm just putting this one in the shalom, shalom. We wish you the blessing of shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom. I don't know yet. Sorry, I've got to turn this off.
Shavua Tov U'Mevorach. It's only 6 days until Shabbat. It's only